All right, Alexander, let's talk about what is happening in the UK with Starmer. He's brought back Gordon Brown as special envoy for global finance. Strange position, especially given Brown's history with gold, right? And then he brought back a very controversial figure to be a special advisor for women and girls, Harriet
Harriet
Harman.
Harman.
Also,
I once slightly knew her long ago, by the way.
oh,
You want me to tell you a
right.
few things about her? I'm absolutely
Yeah.
happy to. But anyway.
Okay. So, I mean, it's clear why he's making these moves, obviously. But get into it. What's going on? I've heard some rumors, by the way. I don't know if you can confirm that he may resign. But by the time this video goes up, he may resign. I don't know if you've heard those rumors as well.
Yes. I mean, today, which is to say, the day after the weekend, is make or break for him. I say make or break. I mean, to be very clear, the break is going to come, and it's going to come soon. But what the usual pattern in Britain, I've discussed this in previous programs, is that you have a series of events play out over the course of a week. In the case of Britain last week, it was the local elections. Then everybody goes away over the weekend. They all consult with each other. They also consult also with people who are in the grassroots of the parties. They talk to the journalists. They talk to everyone else in the political world. And then by the first hours of the next working day, there is either a mood of crisis or a mood of stabilization. And if there is a mood of crisis, then the Prime Minister can find him or herself in extremely serious trouble. Well, we are now in that second situation. There was a whole series of discussions, debates. People talk to each other over the weekend, and the Prime Minister now is in very, very serious trouble. Now, Starmer, after the local elections, said he's not going anywhere, that he re wants to remain Prime Minister. He says that he wants to remain Prime Minister for 10 years. He says that he wants to lead Labour into the next election. All of that, of course, has made him look even more out of touch and delusional than he did previously. He had, before the local elections, been floating the idea of a major reshuffle of his cabinet. In other words, sacking ministers, appointing new ministers. There was talk that the country's finance minister, Rachel Reeves, who is extremely unpopular, as we know, with many people. We've talked about her in the past, that she might be ousted. In reality, after the local election results, it became clear that if he did start sacking ministers and appointing new ministers in that kind of way, that would provoke an even more immediate crisis. So he had to back off. In lieu of that kind of rearrangement of the ministers, he's come up with this absolutely ludicrous scheme of appointing Gordon Brown, global finance envoy, whatever that means. And you mentioned the fact that Gordon Brown managed to sell off a large part of Britain's gold reserves at a lower than market price and put us in a position where we were basically very short of gold. That is also true. But in Britain, he's also famous as the man who bailed out the banks in 2008, 2009, which is still a controversial and very unpopular step with many people, including many people who might have voted Labour, and is seen as confirming him ultimately as a globalist, which Gordon Brown, by the way, is. And of course, he's the Prime Minister who took Labour into an election in 2010 which Labour lost catastrophically. So it is a very strange decision to bring back Gordon Brown and to appoint him to this post and to think that this somehow secures and stabilises Starmer's position. And, well, as you rightly say, Harriet Harman is an even more controversial appointment in some respects. I'm going to be more careful what I say here. But anyway, suffice to say that she is not everybody's favourite person. She's a former lawyer, rather like Starmer himself. Like Brown, she has a background very much in Blair's government, in Blairite policies. She's known or has a reputation for being very strident on some of the so-called, you know, social issues, let's call them that. Again, a strange choice at a time like this, and in no sense perhaps the person who might stabilize the situation at this particular time. So anyway, these two appointments, basically what they did was reinforce the sense that Starmer is losing contact with reality and the people around him are losing contact with reality. The fact that he wasn't able to move forward with this, you know, appointment, sacking and appointment of ministers has demonstrated his weakness. So as at the time of making of this program, what he's trying to do is he's trying to make a great speech, tell us what his values are, tell us what he's going to change, why he's going to be a better prime minister in the future. And he's trying to shore up support. Now, when a prime minister does that, it is a sign of absolute desperation. It is usually a sign that his position is collapsing. And it may very well be, as you rightly say, that over the course of today, he will be gone. Now, over the weekend, a whole group of his parliamentary party started to rebel. More and more of them publicly called for him to go. And it is now, I think, firmly established that there is a plot against him coming from the right, the Blairite faction within the party. The Blairite candidate is a man called Wes Streeting, who is the health minister. The Blairites believe, and he believes, that he's somehow going to be popular and re-engage with the British people. I don't see that myself, but anyway, that's the plan. The idea being, get Wes Streeting made prime minister as soon as possible before there is a challenge from the more left-wing candidates, people like Angela Rayner and Andy Burnham. If you remember, I floated the possibility that this was the Blairite agenda about 2 weeks ago when I pointed out that this whole sudden reemergence of the Mandelson scandal at that time seemed to point to that possibility that there was this Blairite plot underway, because the leaking of information about Mandelson seemed to be coming from the Blairites. And that's what we're seeing at the moment. So as of this moment, the time that we're making this program, the media here is full of rumors, full of reports that Wes Streeting has told Starmer that though he's not prepared, Streeting is not going to challenge Starmer directly for the leadership of the Labour Party and the post of Prime Minister. If there is a challenge, then Streeting might be obliged to act. And of course, the challenge is already there. There's already one MP who's come forward and has said that if there isn't a challenge by anybody else, she will bring it. So it does look to me as if we are now in the early hours of a coup.
He's going to speak about his values.
His values, yes.
They all speak the same. All of these guys speak the same, whether it's Ursula or Stam or Macron. Their values. Exactly. You've got to talk about their our values.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's exactly what people want to hear, are Stammer's values. Okay.
Absolutely.
Anyway, what is the process here? Is there a vote that takes place? Like if Starmer says, okay, I'm stepping down, Klaus is going to give me a position somewhere else. is there a vote? Does he just pass it off to someone? How does the process work?
Right. Well, what the Blairite intention is this. Starmer announces that he's going to step down. In theory, there should be an election of the Labour membership to pick the new leader. But the Blairites are going to say this is a moment of deep crisis, which it is, by the way. We've got problems in the financial markets. Yields on British bonds are rising to crisis levels. We cannot afford an election of that kind. We must all agree on a leader, and we must agree on that leader now. It cannot be Angela Rayner because she's still got this outstanding scandal with her tax affairs. It cannot be Andy Burnham because he's not in Parliament. So by process of elimination, that leaves our candidate, Wes Streeting. We need all of us at this moment of great crisis in our party, in our nation. We all need to unite as one behind him. So a unanimous or overwhelming vote in favour of Wes Streeting from within the actually deeply Blairite parliamentary party. And at that point, Wes Streeting becomes party leader and prime minister. So that I think is the plan. That's the plot. They do not want a long drawn out battle with a leadership election, which might produce a marginally more left wing, but nonetheless still, to be clear, globalist candidate. I mean, within the Labour Party, and I think this is a key thing to understand, what you have are globalists of one kind who are slightly more to the left, and they talk a slightly more left-wing language, but who are still globalists, and globalists on the right who are obviously globalists, but talk a slightly more right-wing language. But that is the entire spectrum of opinion within the Labour Party. If it's Streeting or Rayner or Burnham, in fundamentals, it isn't going to make a huge difference. And I think that's a thing to say. I mean, we're looking at a plot, but it's a plot carried out between factions in terms of their own differences with each other. Well, we know when factions fight each other that the differences seem enormous. But to anybody from the outside, looking at this from the outside, the differences are not really a fundamental significance. None of this, I think, is going to change the underlying dynamic of politics in the country.
Right. Globalists to the left, globalists to the right.
To the right. Yeah.
What would Wes Streeting do differently than Starmer? Say it is Wes Streeting or Rayner. What would they do differently than Starmer? I mean, what's Starmer? Is he a globalist on the left or the right? Or is he a globalist that's in the center, in the middle? Well, would they stop Brexit? Would they stop Project Ukraine? No. They'd ramp it up. Is this a big opportunity for Blair? Does Blair smell a lot of dough coming his way?
Does.
If he can get his guy if he can get Streeting his guy in as prime minister?
That's the whole plan. I mean, there's the fundamental point is getting Streeting in as prime minister, because Streeting is particularly close to Blair and to the Blairites. I mean, I don't know to what extent he actually personally knows Blair, but Streeting is without any question Blair's preferred person to become the next prime minister. I mean, if Streeting becomes prime minister, then it is a full Blairite restoration. And I mean, we are back to a situation where Tony Blair is the effective controller of the Labour Party. Now, the point about Starmer is that this is a man who has no very great political views. I mean, he talks about his vision, but he doesn't have much vision. He's focused on Project Ukraine, which is perhaps the one thing that he cares about, because he doesn't really care about anything else very much. He poses as a centrist. I am not really sure what in Labour politics a centrist globalist actually is.
Sure.
I mean, he's perhaps definitely slightly more on the Blairite side than, well, he's certainly more on the Blairite side than on the leftist side. But ultimately, and I think this is a thing that perhaps one might just mention, he was never the Blairite's ultimate choice. The reason they backed him in 2020 when Corbyn stood down is because an out-and-out Blairite like Streeting couldn't win then. So they came up with someone who was, you know, little-known, well-known supporter of the EU, famous lawyer, though he wasn't actually a very famous lawyer, somebody like that. They put him out forward. They said that this is the man who has, you know, commands weight and respect and authority and will bring the party together. And basically they used Starmer as the icebreaker that would break through and shift the entire Labour Party back away from Corbynism towards a more Blairite globalist direction. So, I mean, Streeting, as is now, I think, widely known, was always their ultimate choice, and they're about to get him. Why they think, by the way, that Streeting is going to be this enormous success as Prime Minister and as leader of the Labour Party, I have absolutely no idea. Everybody that I've seen who knows about these things is united in the view that the wider British public doesn't like him. But there it is.
Why doesn't Blair hook him up with a nice job, a good gig, Starmer, in order to sweeten the deal for Starmer? Because I'm looking right now at ex Alexander, and it's saying Starmer, when asked why he won't step down, this is his speech that he's giving. He won't step aside as his popularity is dragging Labour down, says that he acknowledges the voters' widespread frustration, including some frustration with him personally, but attributes it to deep, long-term failures of the status quo. The status quo, he says. He is the status quo.
Yeah, of course, exactly. I mean, this is, by the way, he said variations of this many times. I mean, you know, he will do better. He can do better. It's not really his fault, but, you know, he gets it. This is a phrase that he often uses, that he gets it. He will somehow do change. We've been hearing this from Starmer now ever since he became Prime Minister, that he's going to turn over a new leaf. His values are the ones that he will now have to shine through. He'll manage to suddenly become the new Starmer who's going to lead us forward. It's all nonsense. Now, for all I know, going back to what you're saying, a lot of this might indeed be Starmer's pitch to get a job. He might be quite plausibly telling Blair and his people, well, you know, I'm not going to refuse a good offer, but your offer has to be better than the one you're making at the moment. I mean, I don't know that that's the conversation that's taking place or the negotiation that's taking place. But if it was, it wouldn't surprise me. But, you know, putting that possibility aside, which is a real one, vanity is an important part in, plays an important role in politics. Starmer tells himself he won the landslide. He's the great leader of the Labour Party. He brought Labour back to power. Why should he go? He's got all this tremendous plan, whatever that is, to implement, and he doesn't want to be pushed out of his party and appear the loser. So it may be that there's vanity as well. But fundamentally, whatever speech he's making, whatever he's saying today, it's not going to convince the country. But the question is whether it convinces his party. And I can't believe by now that it will.
Yeah, status quo is the deep state. When he says status quo, he means the deep state.
He
right?
means That's the code. Deep. He means yeah. the deep state. Which, by the way, bear in mind, he was once part of himself. I mean, he was director of public prosecutions. He was there in the Assange case. He was there in all these other sort of cases. So, I mean, he's absolutely wired into that world.
You said that Reiner has her scandal that's still hanging over her. But doesn't Streeting also have some sort of connection to Mandelson?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, so isn't that going to hang over him? Like, can't Reiner say, okay, you're saying that I have this housing thing that's hanging over me, but wait a minute. Wes, you've got this whole Mandelson thing.
Yes. Well, can I just say something about the whole Reiner scandal, which is something that I've said before, but I want to say this again. I mean, I know a little bit about investigations and those sort of things. So Reiner underpaid tax on her house. That is not disputed. She accepts it. This is undisputed. She paid the amount of the outstanding tax, referred herself in September, early September, for investigation by the tax authorities. Her defense is that she got bad advice and she acted on that bad advice. That was in early September. We are now in May. This is a very, very straightforward thing. Based on my own experience, I would have expected by now that this affair would be resolved. In fact, I would have expected it to be resolved before Christmas. Either she got the wrong advice or she didn't. I mean, it's as simple as that if you think about it. So why is this taking this long? Now, I just want to say this. If you think that when famous political figures, top-ranked politicians, if you think that things like this can't be sorted out quickly, if the desire within the bureaucracy is there, if you think that never happens, well, I have a bridge to sell you. I know that it does. If somebody had wanted to get the situation with Reiner sorted out fast, it would have been over by November, not May. Conversely, if you think that these things can't be drawn out and protracted way beyond the need, and that, you know, all of this long investigation is inevitable and par for the course in a matter of this kind, well, again, I have a bridge to sell you. I mean, the fact is, things like that can be spun out for a very long time in order to embarrass a politician or a public figure and to make their position more difficult. Now, I don't know exactly what is going on, but the fact that this business with Reiner is taking as long as it is certainly one reason why I do suspect that there is a Blairite plot underway, and that the way the Mandelson affair was used has been used in order to get this business of getting Streeting over the line as quickly as possible before Reiner is freed. So that is what I would say about that. I don't think Reiner is a convincing candidate. I don't think Streeting is a convincing candidate. I don't think any of these people who've been talked about are in any kind of position to change the situation or have any vision or ideas for the future of Britain. But there it is.
Yeah, but that's not the purpose of all of this, right?
Absolutely. And as for where Streeting's connections with Mandelson, they absolutely do exist. He's written articles denying it, which of course prove to many people that they are there. And it will be a shadow over him. But, you know, there'll be a concerted attempt in the media afterwards, once he's been made prime minister, to try and bury the topic and to move on. He can at least say that he was not involved directly in all the intrigues that led to Mandelson becoming ambassador to Washington, and that if he had been prime minister, it would have been handled in a different way. I'm not convinced about that, but that's probably what he will do.
Yeah, but just to close out the video, the purpose to all of this is not to make a change.
No.
The purpose to all of this is to try and get to 2029 as Labour.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
To continue reversing Brexit.
Exactly.
To continue funneling money to Project Ukraine. to continue the immigration migration policies, to continue the ramp up to war with Russia. I mean, the purpose is who is the right person, or who are the right set of people to take us now from 2026 all the way to 2029? Who's it going to be? And I guess you have all of these groups now fighting to put themselves in a position where they control the power and the money flow until 2029.
You are absolutely.
It sounds like you created a way. It's really absolutely.
I mean, you're absolutely correct. I mean, there is, as I said, a great deal of intrigue and plotting and infighting, but it is infighting taking place within a very, very narrow, very small group of people who are not fighting each other because they fundamentally disagree about the essentials. They are all going to follow the set of policies that you just outlined. They're all going to do it. They're all pro-EU. They're all pro-Ukraine war. They all want conflict with Russia. They are not going to change the direction of social policy or immigration policy or any of these things. Some of them, Angela Rayner, would probably loosen migration policy, which loose migration policy, by the way, just to say, was very, very much the feature of Tony Blair's time. I mean, it was he, more than any other prime minister, who opened the doors. I want to say that because that is the historical factual reality. None of them are going to change on that. But between them, they do each represent, within this globalist circle, different factions, which, for reasons of factional control and personal interest, are at odds with each other. And for that reason, it does matter to them personally which one of them takes control. And it certainly matters a great deal to Tony Blair. But for the wider world, for the people of Britain, for the people, you know, on the council estates and in the shops and the factories, to the extent that we still have factories, and in the schools and in all of those places, ultimately, it is not going to make any great difference.
All right. We'll end the video there, theduran.locals.com. We're on X, we're on Rumble, we are on Telegram, we are also on Substack, so check us out there. And go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch. We have a special on t-shirts, 30% off all t-shirts at the Duran shop. The link is in the description box down below. Take care.